Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
This is The Bird Show.
You guys are going to be surprised when I walk in the door this week, because today I'm going over to Distant Replays or wherever I have to go, and I am wearing nothing but Jets attire for the rest of the week.
Oh. Why is this?
Why?
Trying to reverse the jinx.
Here is my theory, is that I have never rooted for a team that has won a championship. Not in college, not in pro. And my two true loves are the Padres in baseball and Chargers in football. And I've been a Chargers fan now for over 30 years. And I have ridden up and down this roller coaster with them. And each year I love them, and each year they lose. They've never won a national champ. They've never won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So here's what I'm doing this year. I'm going to change things up a little bit.
All right.
I have decided that I'm going to root for every team that is playing against the Chargers in the playoffs. So
in your heart, though, you're not going to really be rooting for them.
It would be impossible. But at least on a superficial level, I can root for them. So I'm going out to get a Jets jersey today. I am going to get a T-shirt. I'm going to get sweatshirts. And I am becoming a Jets fan. I was even thinking about putting the flags on my car. The
you're
Jets flags
kidding.
On my car this
week. You cannot
do
that. No.
It has to be
do
done.
That. You cannot go and pay money for some ugly team's colors.
I'm
like,
going to
no
do
way.
It. I'm going to do it.
You can't
something
do that.
Has to be changed.
That's not cool.
And this is the only way to do it. So if I want the Chargers to win, I must root against them.
Just get a Jets button. How many more times do they have to win in order to go to the Super Bowl?
Twice.
They have to win two more games.
They have to beat the Jets this weekend and then the winner of the Colts and Ravens game on Sunday also.
What if they go to the Super Bowl?
Then I will root for, if this works,
then you got to keep
then
it going.
Then I got to keep it going.
Are you going to the Super Bowl?
I am going to the Super Bowl.
Well, you cannot
wear
if
they're there or not, I am going to the Super Bowl.
So if your team's there, you cannot wear the other team's colors.
I will wear the other team's colors.
No way.
I will until the Chargers win. If they win, then I would put on the powder blues. But until then, I root for every team that's against the Chargers. Look,
so
this happened
like
just the other night, right? Georgia Tech is playing against
Iowa
the other night. I tweet right before the game, this Georgia fan hopes that Georgia Tech wins. They lose. Every team I root for loses. So I am rooting
opposite.
For the Jets. And I am rooting against the Chargers for the entire series.
See, I understand the theory, but in your heart, you're really not rooting for the Jets.
That's the best I got.
But if they make it to the Super Bowl,
switch up the mojo.
There's no way,
dude.
You've got to wear your team's colors on the Super Bowl.
Is it down in Miami?
Yes.
So you're going to be in Miami.
Yes.
Walking around the city. If San Diego goes to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
You're going to be walking around the city of Miami.
Yes.
Going to parties.
Right. In New Orleans Saints jersey, if the Saints make it.
And the game.
And the game also.
Into the stadium.
I will tell you that I will have a backpack with a Chargers jersey, so once the game is wrapped up, then I could put that on. But if this works for the next couple of weeks, then I will don whoever the NFC championship champion is if the Chargers are playing them. So if it could be the Vikings, I'll get Viking stuff. Could be the Saints, I'll get Saints stuff.
So you're going to go in today to whatever, Foot Locker,
yep,
and get a Jets hat. And it'll be on your head for the rest
J-E-T-S,
of the week.
J-E-T-S, Jets this week.
Wow.
I just don't know if that'll work. I wonder if anybody has done that and switched up the mojo and their team like went all the way and won the Super Bowl. If they were rooting for everybody opposite of them the whole time. Because it just doesn't seem right.
But when you've been rooting for one team for so long and everything that you have done has failed, you got to switch it up.
Yeah, but you won't be able to enjoy it as
much. Every team I root for lose, I will. Because
no.
Again, in my heart, but on the outer level, I still got the skin of a Jets fan on.
But you cannot physically root for your team in another team's jersey.
You saw me doing it against the Falcons.
Well, because you had your team colors on.
No, I didn't. I had Falcons colors on that night. Remember, I was rooting for the Falcons because there was an obnoxious Chargers fan.
You were the obnoxious
Chargers.
Okay,
so yeah, so what do you do if you're at the game at the Super Bowl and you're wearing the same things and there's Chargers fans around you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you say to them, Chargers suck?
No, I mean, I don't have to do that. But, I mean, the theory is if this works for the next couple of weeks, then why would I switch it up for the biggest game of the year?
I I'm not even a sports fan, and I can't imagine doing that.
No way.
Good morning, Tom. You're on Q100.
Just go ahead and root for your Chargers, okay? I need for my Jets to go to the Super Bowl, and if you're rooting for the Chargers, it'll make my anxiety a lot less. So J-E-T-S.
Jets! Yoo! Go Jets!
Oh, come on.
How can you say that?
Good morning, Q100. Yellow?
Hello.
Hello.
What's going on? Bert, I got to tell you, man, this is a huge, huge mistake.
I don't know how it could be.
This is a huge mistake. I'm a Steelers fan, okay? I've been a Steelers fan my entire life. Believe me, I hear where you're coming from, that I've been on the roller coaster. Mm-mm. You know, granted, we've got championships. We've got Super Bowl victories. I was at the Super Bowl last year. I have actually kicked my wife and my family out of the house during Steelers games because they were rooting for the other team.
Well, here is the difference between you and me. You can't understand this mentality because Pittsburgh has, what, 5 Super Bowl championships?
Well, 6.
6. So you can't. Thank you.
Love it.
And most of the time they make it to the Super Bowl, they beat the Chargers to get there. So you can't possibly understand.
But the game of numbers says that in due time, you're going to, and it could happen in several years back to back. I mean, look what the Patriots did. They went so long without having any championships, and then all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. In 5 years, they got, what, 3? So your time is coming, my friend. Just don't trade in your true blues.
Agreed.
Now, wouldn't a more qualified, because I'm not qualified to speak on sports, but wouldn't some people argue that the success or failure of the team would way more on the quality of the coaching and athleticism of the players rather than what color shirt you're wearing, Bert?
Mm. Well, yeah, at some point, but as a fan, you can only do what you can do. Like, everybody, I think, has their superstitions as a fan. Mm-hmm. Like, if your team is losing and you turn the game off and they start to win, if you turn that game back on and they're winning while you weren't watching, I'll turn the TV back off.
Oh, I will too, because I want them to win. And I feel like if I turn off the TV that they're going to win without me watching them.
Or if you're like sitting on a certain side of the couch and they're not doing well, you get up and you sit somewhere else and then they start doing well, you have to sit in that other chair.
So while we can't be down on the field and we can't be coaching, we have to do what we have to do as fans. And this is the only contribution I can make for my Chargers is to root for the other team.
Oh, you just cannot put on a Jets jersey. Oh, it just makes me sick.
Doesn't bother me.
You'll be tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm getting it today. I'm coming in here in a Jets jersey tomorrow. And I want to get those flags. I'm going to put them on in the window.
Not.
Yeah, I'm telling you. If they sell them,
that.
I'm going to get them today, dude.
I'm almost.
I'm going to be the biggest J-E-T-S Jets fan.
I'm almost tempted to go buy it for you, so it's beyond what you would get for yourself. I mean, head to toe. Like, I want you to be in a Jets uniform. I want you to be muffled because you're talking through a helmet.
That is my strategy for the next couple of weeks. So I am the biggest Jets fan you have ever met. Go ahead, send me all your Jets paraphernalia this week if you want. Email me about where the Jets fans are going to be watching the game this week. I may go watch the game in a Jets bar this weekend.
No, you cannot do that because then you'll get hit.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, no. Jets.
Doesn't
now,
make sense.
Oh,
I'm so mad at you right now.
I can't wait if the Chargers. When's the game this weekend?
I think it is on Sunday. I'm going to have to check. I think it's the early Sunday game.
I almost want to watch the game with you in your Jets gear. And I want to make sure we have somebody good answering phones Monday morning if the Chargers lose because you are rooting for the Jets.
Oh, see?
Don't do that.
See? Now you're stomach's in
that
knots.
Makes me sick.
This is The Bert Show. It's The Bert Show.
All right, this was Sally on Friday. Her idea was to go hand-in-hand with a coworker in front of the boss and demand a raise. This was her Friday.
One of my coworkers had mentioned that she's buying a house, and when asked how she's able to do that, she mentioned that she just got a raise. And my other coworker and I, she and I did not get a raise. And so, you know, we were out in the parking lot, and we devised a plan that we're going to go into the boss's office today and demand a raise.
Which you guys thought presented a whole bunch of problems. Some of you guys called up and said that the boss will see that as sort of like this defensive move. He's going to get defensive about it. Mm-hmm. Others called in and said, well, what if she gets the raise and you don't? That the way better and more professional way to handle it is to go in there one-on-one.
And she didn't want to do that.
She didn't want to do that.
Yeah, they wanted to go in together, but nobody negotiates their salary with another person.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's between you and the boss. So we thought it was dumb, but she was going for it anyway.
Hey, Sally, good morning. You're back on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi. So how'd that whole race thing work out for you? Did you guys decide to go in there hand in hand?
We did. We did. As soon as Boss walked in, we decided to do it right away. And we walked in because we didn't want to chicken out. And we asked if we could talk to him. He said, sure. And we told him that we thought that we deserved a raise. And we knew the company had money since our coworker got a raise. And we insisted that we both wanted one. We did it. So we...
And what was your boss's initial reaction?
I think he was a little surprised and a little taken back. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad we did it on a Friday.
What was it like the rest of the day? Did you ever hear anything more? Did he say, I mean, he say he was going to consider it or what?
Yeah, well, he said, he was a little taken back. And he did say that he does have money in his budget for a raise, but he only has enough to give to one of us. So he said, he suggested that we come in individually on Monday, which is today. Mm-hmm. But we were to present, give them a presentation on why we think that we deserve the raise over the other person.
So essentially what he's doing is your power play was, look, we're both going in there and we're both demanding a raise because the office couldn't take the hit of both of you. Both of us. And what he's doing is taking that power away and really saying, look, it's conquer and divide here. Come in here individually. One of you is going to get the raise. But you've already said that it was the both of you or none of you. So how are you going to handle that?
Well, I know. I was a little surprised by his approach and how he wants us to do this. But
why?
I think it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a way. I think he probably, yeah, you came in there and he's like, oh, whatever. You guys are aligned. Let's see really how aligned you are.
Right.
I want you each to present why you're better than the other. And you both went, okie doke.
Yeah, now you just turned against each other.
What happened to solidarity there?
Yeah, I don't want to.
I don't know. I think it's dumb. But I went home and I created a PowerPoint presentation on why I think I deserve the raise.
Why do you think you deserve it?
Probably because I know PowerPoint and she doesn't.
Yeah, you'd be fun. You'd be fun on Survivor.
So you guys, that you were shoulder to shoulder on Friday, and now you're competing against each other. And
well, I mean, it is now definitely like we had to put on our thinking caps of why we each think we deserve the raise, and we, you know, we didn't sit down over a drink and do that together. So. I'm a little bummed out, but I want the raise, and I think I deserve it. I mean, I know I can at least type faster than she can, so.
But what happens if she gets the raise and you don't get the raise?
I'll be pissed.
Will you make a PowerPoint outlining how angry you really are?
Did you guys talk at all over the weekend, or was it like, oh, we are a team on Friday and this weekend, like, in touch at all?
We didn't talk, not even on Facebook.
I think it's so funny how you guys went in there with this master plan of power in numbers, and he immediately divided the two of you guys up, and there was no fight in you, no thought about it, nothing. It was just like, okay, it's every man for himself at this point.
Because what he said was one of you will get a raise. Like, so all of a sudden, he took the power that they had that we're marching in there together, we're both going to get a raise, and he was honest with you. He's like... Yeah, you're right. I got $2,000, but I'm not dividing it up. It goes to you or you. Come in and tell me why.
I know, but you know what's really interesting to me is, so he's had the money in the budget to give us a raise, but until you go in and ask for it, I mean, it's not like, you have to stand up for yourself. You have to speak up for yourself.
Yeah, it has been my experience that they just don't give you money, that you have to ask for it generally, yes.
I know, and even though I'm doing a good job, and, you know, so I could just sit there and not ask, and meanwhile, you know, I had to really think about my work ethic over the weekend, and so I definitely want to be a better employee, but no, did my friend and I talk over the weekend? No, so am I a better employee at the risk of not being the most popular? Maybe, and I have to figure out what's more important, putting food on my table or having a gap session with my coworkers.
I think it's just so funny how it didn't take much for you guys to separate. Hey, Val, good morning. You're on Q100.
Oh, my God. didn't I talk to you just Friday about the situation?
Yes, you did.
You do not deserve this race. Did you hear, do you guys understand why I'm saying she doesn't deserve it? Today you asked her, what makes you think you deserve the race better than the other girl? I have a PowerPoint. Oh, my God, how dumb could you be? You do not deserve a raise. You are taking money in a time where people need it. Somebody probably worked twice as hard as you do, and you're asking for it, and you probably don't even deserve it. You're slow. You are stupid. You are dumb. You do not deserve this raise. Oh, jeez. My God, you are making me so mad.
The boss doesn't sound like her.
I think you've had way too many cups of coffee.
What? Excuse you? Maybe if you had a few cups of coffee, you would do your job 10 times better and actually get a raise without having to ask for it.
Oh.
Now, why are you so upset at her? You were so upset on Friday, and you're so upset again today. Why are you so upset?
Because you have some people who are just ridiculous, like this lady, who get by with dumb stuff like this, and they don't deserve it.
Have you been passed up for, like, a raise recently or something?
No, I just got my raise. You know why? Because I deserved it.
Oh, dang.
I did not ask for my raise. My boss came to me and said she wanted to give me a 15% raise. I did not have to ask for mine, sweet pea.
Wow. I, by the way, Val, would like to thank you for calling, because calling someone slow is my new favorite insult. And I'm going to use that on people. Oh, my God, you're just slow.
And for me, I'm only going to refer to you now as Sweet Pea.
Oh, like, we're going to pretend that's new.
Here is Liz. Good morning, Liz. You're on Q100.
Good morning. This poor caller, hon, she has failed job 101, and that is you want to get a raise based on your merit, not on we're going to go in and hold hands like kindergartners and say we both want a raise. Because I guarantee you that the boss had enough money to give both of them a raise. And his lesson to them in job 101 is you don't do that. You go in and you say, I deserve it because of my performance or something like that.
Sally, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I put it in my PowerPoint presentation.
I can't wait to see how this pans out over the week. So you're supposed to make your case today. Your coworker is supposed to make her case today also, and then he's going to give you feedback tomorrow?
Yep, and we flip the coin to see who goes in first.
And you flip the coin to see who goes in
first.
Who's going first?
She's going in first.
Okay.
She goes first. That's kind of good that you want to be the clincher.
I agree.
We always say that about American Idol, the person who performs last has an advantage because
top of mind
awareness when people are voting. So good for you.
Just another life lesson from American Idol.
We learned so many. I'm curious if there's any other coworkers that are at the same level as the two of you that could be also pitching for the job today.
I don't care because they didn't have the balls to go into the office on Friday and ask.
I don't care if you care. I'm just asking if it's a fact. Like, are there other coworkers on your level that could potentially be going after the job that, or after the raise that you want?
I guess so, but maybe I've just been too focused on my own performance.
Sally,
So it could go to neither one of you.
Well, he said he has it in his budget for one of us. So I don't know what, but I think I have a very strong case, and I think I put together a great PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah, there is a chance that he comes back to you and he goes, you know what, now that I realize that neither one of you guys deserve the raise, and I'm going to give it to Jen in the office.
That would be funny. Because I can do PowerPoint, too.
You can do PowerPoint. Or Val. Val will get it.
Yeah.
Sweet Pea will get it.
Sweet Pea.
I'll leave my job. I'll quit my job.
No, you will not.
No, you won't. You came
you
in with all these...
You can't afford to quit your job. you just said you had to put food on your table. You can't afford to quit your job.
I know, but it just makes me so mad.
Some money is better than no money. You're not quitting.
Well, I'm going to see what he says. And if he at least can get, like, dangle a little carrot, you know, as far as, well, maybe not now, but in 3 months, then I'll be okay. But
he's got you exactly where he wants it. You're going to get nothing out of this whole thing. Let's talk to you tomorrow and find out how your PowerPoint presentation went, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Good luck.
Good luck for you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take her down.
The
partner that you were so close to on Friday.
We are going in there hand in hand, and it's both of us or none of us. Or one of us.
Right.
Here, Bert Show. The Bert Show.
This is going to strike right at Jen Hobby here.
Mm-hmm.
The whole smoking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been able to stop smoking. Well, I stopped for like four years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last 2 years, picked it up again. And
Were there physical differences that you noticed in the 4 years?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
This is, you know what? Listening to Jen is like...
I'm just exhausted by it.
She's such a good example of how smokers act about smoking, is that it's a constant fight. They go through this love-hate relationship. I'm watching my wife go through it also.
Yeah.
And then at one point, they really shut down. Like, you can't ask them questions about it because they're just over themselves.
Yeah, I think so.
She's over herself.
Yeah, I think you get to that point. And some days I have really good days, and then other days I am, you know, super stressed out. I'll notice it, like, for girls, like, depending on where you are throughout the month, there's certain times where you want to, you know, where I'll want to smoke more, or I'll be stressed out, or whatever it is, that I'll lean on it more. And then there's other times where I do it less. So, and I felt like I was pretty good over the holidays. I was with my family, and I don't smoke in front of my family. I'm dating now. I'm not smoking on dates, that kind of thing. So I feel like I'm doing it less, and it's becoming easier to do it less often. But still, there are those times when I'm like having coffee or driving in the car, or whatever those things you associate it with, that I haven't been able to stop. And I haven't really, if I'm being honest with myself, I haven't completely wrapped my brain around doing it.
About quitting.
Now, my wife and I are going through the same thing right now, but she gets very passionate about things and very defiant. Like, that's it. I am done smoking. And then 3 weeks later, she starts smoking again. And then she's defiant about it. That's it. I hate cigarettes. I hate the way they smell. I'm so over it. I'm done. And then 4 weeks later, she's smoking again. So she came to bed last night and she's like, did you notice anything different today? And I said, I looked at the hair, I looked at the nails.
You're like, oh God, loaded question.
I'm like, no, I got nothing, darling. And she's like, well, I haven't had a cigarette all day today, which she doesn't smoke in front of me anyway, but I can always smell it. So I said to her last night, and in a serious way, I'm like, baby, I don't know how to support you in this whole thing. Like, do you want me to be excited for you? Do you want me to be real with you and say that I've heard that before? I mean, I don't know exactly how to react to this anymore. She's like, you don't have to react at all. I'm just telling you.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Because I've heard the fight so many times.
Yeah.
But this is the same thing that smokers go through all the time, this love-hate relationship. So we were initially going to send Jen up with Sean Wheeler here to go get hypnotized, but it just hadn't happened yet.
We do have an appointment, finally. We figured out schedules and our calendar, and it's my fault because Sean would write me back via email and say, well, are you available this day? And then I would just kind of stall. I don't know why.
Did you confirm the appointment once Tracy told you he'd be sitting 4 feet from you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you
exactly when I did it.
That's usually how it works.
You may be able to come in here every other week for the rest of the year, depending on how Jen's appointment.
Well, when it first happened, I knew when I was first on the show back in November, I knew not to harass you because it's not going to do me any good for someone to come in when they're not ready to quit.
Right.
So I would even say if you're not ready in a couple of weeks when we made our appointment, reschedule. I don't care. You know, come in when you're ready, and it'll be the most effective.
When is your appointment for?
The 20th, I think.
The 20th, yeah.
Yeah, the 20th.
So you just really, you must really be jammed 24/7 between now and
then.
I actually am. Okay.
I bet this is the time of year.
The time when everyone jumps on the bandwagon and decides to quit smoking, to lose weight, to do all these things, and I'm the one they call.
Sean is a hypnotist, and I think that people are going to dismiss it partially because of your own fault. I think that people see it in stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I think that sort of discredits what hypnosis is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I say that, you know, I do the hypnosis shows. When I do the shows, I tell people what it is and what it's not. I tell them it's cooperation and not control. I explain it. But a lot of hypnotists don't. They're going for, I want to look like a magician. I want to look all powerful. So they leave that part out, thinking everyone's going to be even more impressed. And that does damage to it. And then, of course, you got the movies where people are always hypnotized into having supernatural abilities and seeing into the past and the future and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that really does hamstring it.
How did you learn how to do it?
Went to school for it.
Really?
You know, and I didn't go to college for it. I went to college for broadcast journalism, coincidentally. I'm at a radio station. Yeah, but I went to school for broadcast journalism. Yeah. Well, that's what I thought, but actually it's turned out to be a plus. I use it in a lot of different ways. But anyway, you know, after I was working with CNN for a number of years, I felt a little bit dissatisfied with that. I tried the hypnosis out. It was helpful. And when I had a chance, I went back to school for it. Studied it, 250 hours of training, working with people. And when you're doing the training, you're working with each other in the class. You're working with clients outside of class for credit. By the time you graduate, you've actually worked with people for over 50 hours. So you don't just walk out, you know, clueless, you know, having your first client. And I've been doing this for over 6 years. So I've had, you know, almost 700 clients now that I've been working with.
And I was on the website a lot, you know, just reading about all the different testimonials and the people that it's really worked for and that kind of thing. And you do it for
Smoking,
weight loss, fears and phobias. Those are the main ones. You know, stress management is something that comes into play for everyone. But yeah, I've had some really cool fears and phobias that I've cured. I've had some really weird kind of things that have happened. A woman who was afraid of cats, you know, and it lasted for over 30 years, and I cured it in one session.
Really?
And I knew this because I have two cats, and I was able to immediately after the session have her hold them. You know, which is like, I don't have an airplane parked out in my backyard. So when I, you know, when I work with someone out of a fear of flying, I can't just board them on the plane right away. But with the cats, it was like, it was right there. She was holding them and it was like done.
Wow.
Is it the kind of thing that if I ask how hypnosis works in the brain, if somebody hears that, then it won't take as well as if they just go in?
The conscious knowledge of how it works doesn't interrupt the process of it working. So, you know, the one thing that's different from what people expect is that you actually know exactly what's happening when you're hypnotized. Now, you said last time we were here that you were on the stage and you were doing that and you knew what you were doing, but you just chose to do it.
It just seemed like so much fun that I decided to cluck like a chicken, right?
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, if you feel comfortable, why not? And the thing in therapy is it works the same way, meaning that your purpose is different for being there. But because you know what's happening, you know whether you're going to respond to this suggestion or that suggestion. So Jen's going to know what's happening when she's hypnotized. She's going to know what I'm saying, and really what I'm saying is not going to be anything new to her. But because you're in a suggestive state, if it's something you want to do, it seems like a more appealing idea and something that you're more likely to do.
Okay. Is there anything I need to do to prepare for it?
Yeah, well, the only thing that you have to do to prepare, well, number one is you got to make up your mind to quit. And the thing that you've been sort of hedging and hawing about, you know, I'm not sure if I want to, make up your mind to quit. And the other thing is just get rid of all your stuff before you come in. So what I've had is some clients who come in and I tell them, I say, get rid of all your cigarettes, get rid of all your ashtrays, get rid of all your lighters. And they don't. And they keep an emergency pack. This is a few of them. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell me they're doing so great and they hadn't smoked in a week or 2 weeks and they got stressed out for 1 second. And they went because they had an emergency pack hidden up in the closet. They grabbed it. And what happens
is... You always know it's there, too.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You're not going to forget that you haven't had two cigarettes in the back of the junk drawer and a lighter in there. Like, you're not going to forget that.
And so there's no point. If you've made up your mind that you're going to quit, you don't need an emergency pack. It's like, look, you might get stressed out, but you're not going to die if you can't get a cigarette. Mm-hmm. And so people have to make that. You have to take the responsibility, first and foremost. And you have to be honest with yourself. If you don't do those things, hypnosis can't do anything for you at all. But if you do take responsibility and you're honest with yourself, it'll make it a heck of a lot easier for you.
And what's the percentage of success?
I don't keep stats, but I'll tell you, for after two sessions of working with people, it's probably higher than 75%. Meaning that, yeah, because...
That's so awesome.
But that's the thing. The thing that I communicate that's the most important in those sessions is what your responsibility is and what my responsibility is. Mm-hmm. My responsibility is to give you some tools that make it easier. Yours is still to be the one who says, when you do have the choice, when you do have the thought, I'm not doing it. If you don't do that, or if that hasn't been communicated, I wouldn't have any success because you're always going to have a moment. I mean, you're not going to go the rest of your life without having a temptation.
Sure.
It's having the tools and being prepared for that situation that helps you to get through it.
Because it is such a mental thing, too. And I think that Stacey would probably say this, or anybody who's struggled with quitting smoking would say this, is like, it's not necessarily the physical, because it's after what, like a week or 2 weeks that the physical addiction is completely gone. Well, but I mean, I have a friend right now who is, I don't know how far along, really maybe like 4 or 5 months pregnant. And so she obviously stopped before she started trying. She stopped smoking and all that kind of stuff. And then certainly when she was pregnant, she hasn't smoked since, but she keeps having dreams about it. She keeps thinking about it.
Well, yeah, it's something that you've done for so long.
She's like, I haven't had a cigarette in, you know, she's like 6 months, but I'm still thinking about it all the time.
Well, for people who think that it's physical, here's what my experience is. I've had clients who've been smokers for 25, 30, 35 years, smoking a pack and a half or a carton a week, quit with hypnosis, didn't have any cravings at all.
Wow. Okay?
Now, that's not everyone, but that's some of them.
Right.
And if it can happen for someone, that means that the physical part of it is very, very small. And once you stop thinking about it, you know, once the stress isn't an issue, it's not that hard.
Right.
Here is Shannon. Good morning. You are on Q100. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good. I was hypnotized maybe about 6 years ago, and I quit for 3 years. And, of course, I was off. I didn't have any cravings. I felt great. But then I was off with a bunch of girlfriends. You know, one thing led to another. Just let me have a hit, you know. And then I started back, and I've been smoking back for maybe about 2 years now. And I went and got hypnotized about a year ago from the same lady, and it didn't work at all. I mean, I didn't, you know, I went right back to smoking just like I had before. Hmm. And so why would it work one time and not work the second time?
Well, because the it that you're talking about is hard to define. The it, hypnosis, how it works. It has to do with how it's communicated. Okay, part of it has to come from you as the individual taking the responsibility to say, I'm going to give it 100%. And if you're not really committed to it and you say, well, I'm just going to go to the hypnotist and hopefully I won't want to smoke anymore. Well, that may be true to an extent sometimes. Like part of it is not having to do a lot of work on your own, not having to make a lot of effort on your own. But a part of it is always going to be your responsibility. So when I work with my clients, I give them unlimited sessions. I say you can always come back for free for the rest of your life, as long as I'm in business. Yes. And every once in a while, I'll see somebody a year later or 6 months later. They did really well, but they slipped up or they want some reinforcement. And then I work with them again.
Sean Wheeler is the hypnotist that's speaking right now. And the website is?
Purehypnosis.com.
All right, it's after 8:30 now, and we say on the Burt Show that after 8:30, we assume that kids aren't listening so we can do some more adult material.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I'm going to take one call that's going to represent three women that were on the line to talk to you about. Do you have any idea what it might be?
I have no idea.
Huh. Good morning, Anne. You are on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to let you know you're not alone. There were three other women with the very same question you're about to ask.
Well, thank the maker.
Go ahead and ask Sean.
Can hypnosis help me have an orgasm?
Yeah, absolutely.
Depends on how good you are.
No, but Sean can.
That's what I meant, you know. No.
That's one of those free sessions.
No, it's all right. I've got a girlfriend. I can't say that.
Can I be, and she's right now going, oh, really, hypnosis can? Well, why can't you?
Three women called up and went in to say the same thing. They've either just orgasmed once or never have at all. And right. Can they be hypnotized into being able to do that?
Absolutely, because what you're talking about is your thoughts. Your thoughts, while you're having sex, are going to determine what your experience is. And everyone knows that if your thoughts are somewhere else, if you're on the football game or thinking about grandma, that you can't really get there in the same way that you can if you're focused on what's happening.
I guess it depends on what grandma looks like.
Right. Oh, well, my God!
I have no comment on that. No comment.
Hey, it doesn't count on the air. We are working.
Right.
It's part of my job to be pervy. Bert's too.
It's not Say mine. That. So let me be clear. When anything that has to do with how you think in a situation, and that does, you know, what you're thinking about during that time is going to affect what you're feeling, then yes, hypnosis can be helpful to that.
Well, the only thing is, like, I've had one orgasm. I'll be 28 next month. I've had one orgasm, and that was back when I was in college. And I haven't been able to have one since, and I, you know, enjoy the sensation or whatever. But I feel like there's a mental barrier to where I cannot break through it.
Yeah, if there's a mental barrier, if there's something that's holding you up, if there's something that's blocking you, it's not allowing you to have the experiences fully, then there are things that we can do in the hypnosis that will get you past that, that will help you to feel more comfortable in that situation, just enjoying the experience, rather than maybe putting pressure on yourself or trying to do something, trying too hard.
It's an interesting philosophical debate. Is it good to have one? Or never to have one at all.
Better to have loved and lost.
I have a question for her.
She's already gone.
Oh, she is? Okay. I was going to ask if it was only when she was with someone else?
I don't know.
Or by herself?
Maybe she'll call back. This initially started out on how to quit smoking, but others are calling with other hypnosis suggestions. Hey, Rachel, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi.
Do you want to be on the Voice Disguiser?
Please.
Okay.
My sister actually has had a problem with sucking her thumb.
I thought she said something else.
She is 25 years old and mainly does it when she's stressed, or tired. So I didn't, and she's actually thought about it, but didn't know if that was something that could help, doing hypnosis to help her stop.
Now, is she sucking her thumb like in the middle of the day when she's stressed out, or does she just wake up in the middle of the night and she realizes she has a thumb in her mouth?
She'll do it in the middle of the day.
Wow. She's 25.
Yeah. If it's coming from stress, then my answer is usually, yeah, it can be helpful. I'm very quick not to say that, look, it's not a magic pill. It's not a cure-all. Everyone that calls, I'm not going to say, yes, I can help you just to take your money. But if it's something that comes from stress, hypnosis is the opposite of stress, meaning it's a deep relaxation. So when a person learns to do that, a lot of things that are symptomatic of stress can be helped.
Okay. And what about with being tired? I mean, is that something that...
You mean her being overtired contributing to it?
Yes, because yeah. That's when, you know, a lot of the time, I guess that's comfort, too, you know, the just...
Well, hey, one of the things that's important is that a person's got to get enough sleep. And if she's not getting enough sleep or rest, or if she's working too hard, then this is something that can help with that as well. My clients usually report sleeping better after the first week or so of doing this with me.
That's what I was going to say, because Bert is, all listeners know about Bert's struggles with sleep. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at your website, and you have, what are those CDs that you order at home?
Yeah, I have CDs, I have MP3s, and I have one that's good for insomnia, actually. Now, all my recordings have an induction and a relaxation suggestions, but the thing that's different about the insomnia one is it doesn't have an ending. Like, it doesn't have the part where I say open your eyes and wake up. It just trails off to music. So you can listen to it as you're falling asleep. And, you know, it doesn't work necessarily every time for everyone, but I've had, you know, I had a client, my friend who just did that website, put up the MP3 store. He's been listening to the insomnia one and has been sleeping really well.
He's falling asleep as he's putting up the website.
Yeah, it was a big delay because he's just sleeping the whole time.
It's taken him 2 years to construct your website.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandy, good morning. You're on Q100 with Sean Wheeler.
Hey, good morning. Love
good morning.
The show.
Thank you.
I actually, several years ago, had a death in my family and started binge eating, and nothing's helped so far. Tried counseling, I've tried medication, and was wondering if that was something that you could help with.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to know more specifics about your situation, how it's working, in order to tell you exactly how we could do it. But when it comes to compulsive behaviors, it tends to do with what you're thinking about in the moment. And if what you're thinking about in the moment is you're only focused on the food and what it's giving you, usually people are doing that. It's you're trying to address one need in a really inappropriate way. It's like you have a need for something else, but you're trying to stuff it down with food. And so what we do is we try to help you to focus on fulfilling that need in a more appropriate way, and when you do that, the symptom of overeating goes away.
Everybody's calling up with different ideas on what it can help and what it can't. Maybe instead of taking all those calls, what is something that hypnosis cannot help you with?
I got a good one. I had a client, this happens for me from time to time. I had someone call me last week or email me, and he said, you know, I just went up through this terrible breakup with my girlfriend, and I want you to erase her from my memory.
And
I get that
me?
Several times a year, you know, usually around Valentine's Day, it's worse. But it's like, you know, what I tell them is that I can't erase a person from your memory. That's just, you know, it's not the way it works. You can forget things from hypnosis, but it's not quite that clean. But what I do tell people is that you can't help. And this guy came in last week, and he was just so distraught, couldn't stop thinking about her, was tormented. And so what I did with him was I helped him to forget about her a little bit, meaning to not so much focus on the thoughts of her. And because of that, 2 days later, he sent me an email saying, hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm doing a lot better. It's working already.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not like you can just, like, Eternal Sunshine, right? Did anyone see that movie with Jim Carrey?
Yeah. And so, you know, go back in and erase stuff.
That's what I say. I say the important thing is you don't want to erase those memories, because if you do, you're not going to learn anything from it. Mm-hmm. And then you're doomed to repeat the same situation. And this guy said, if I meet her again, I want to just, like, meet her like I've never known her before. I was like, dude, really? You want to go through that
She's
again?
She's the same person.
You don't want to go through that again. So,
right.
Yeah.
And all your friends, you're going to look across the bar and go, God, she is hot. And your friends are going to be like, what is wrong with you?
Exactly.
So hypnosis can help you in a whole bunch of different areas. We were focusing on cigarette smoking today. But if you want to get in touch with Sean, you can go to his website again.
And there's a lot more information there, purehypnosis.com, about what it can help you with.
And you said you have a pretty full schedule now. Like, realistically, if I called you up today and I said that...
About two weeks.
I can get in to see you. But go to his website today, and we'll have a link up to it from ours at Q100Atlanta.com. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate being here.
Appreciate it.
The Bert Show. The Bert Show.
Let me try to explain that I am a curse to any team that I root for. Any team.
Aww.
It doesn't matter if it's
so
college...
Sad.
It doesn't matter if it's pro. It doesn't matter if it's baseball. It doesn't matter if it's football. I have never had the honor of rooting for a team that's won any kind of championship, any kind at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look week to week, or you can look over the course of a whole season. I have never rooted for a champion. Now, I'm from San Diego, so I have rooted for the Padres. That's our baseball team. Mm-hmm. And the Chargers for 30 years now. 30 hard years of wins and losses and getting close and never won a Super Bowl championship.
Always disappointed.
Always disappointed. I mean, the first thing I do still every morning when I wake up is I go to the San Diego paper and I check Padres scores and Chargers scores. That's where my heart is, right?
That's mm-hmm. cute.
So, I mean, I'm a hardcore Charger fan. And here they are in the playoffs now. And I've decided to just switch it up a little bit because everything that I've been doing as a fan has not obviously worked. I root for them. I wear their jersey. I've tried everything. So I am taking extraordinary measures this year. What I'm going to start doing is I am rooting for the team that is playing the Chargers throughout the playoffs. So the Chargers are playing the Jets this weekend. So today I will walk myself down to Distant Replays and I will get myself an old school New York Jets jersey. If they have those New York Jets flags that you put up on in your car, I will get those. I will get a New York Jets hat.
Idea.
I will get a banner. I will put it up in my office.
Oh.
I might even on Sunday go to that Jets sports bar, which is Mazzy's, and root with the Jets fans against the Chargers in hopes that the Chargers can make it through to the Super Bowl.
You cannot do that. You cannot physically put on another team jersey.
Here's why you can't. Here's why you can't understand where I'm coming from, and neither can Jen, because you root for Florida, University of Florida.
Right.
They win championship after championship. Florida State has won a championship
in the 90s.
You can't possibly understand what it's like to root for teams that never, ever, ever win.
The Falcons have never won a Super Bowl.
That's
the Falcons
a good point.
Haven't
True.
Been in That's the playoffs for a long time. I mean, they were in the playoffs last year, and it took a while for them to get to the playoffs, and they're not in it this year. But I will never physically go put on another jersey that the Falcons are playing and go root for them.
You haven't been alive long enough yet to say that you have gone through the disappointments of the Falcons losing. 30 years I've been rooting for the Chargers, and they've never won a championship. Something I'm doing is wrong.
Jen, would you do this if it was Florida State playing another team? Would you go put on your other team's jersey and go root for that team no matter how bad Florida
you
State
You can't
did?
Ask Jen. Never. She has rooted for Never. Champions before.
But still,
you'd have to ask.
I just think it's so disloyal. Yeah. You've got to feel badly about it.
But it's not disloyal. But I'm only doing what I can for my team. See what I'm saying? I can't go down there and I can't
I'm
catch a pass.
I'm hearing the words, but I'm not understanding
Yeah, I can't
it.
Comprehend.
Now, and here's what I don't, what makes me nervous is like you talk about going to Distant Replays and getting a throwback or something.
Yeah, man, I'm going all out on
Dude,
this.
Dude, go to Champs and get a t-shirt.
I might do that
don't
also.
Don't even get a t-shirt. Well, just root for them in your head.
He's going to wear it for 4 days. Like it's going to be, you're going to spend $200 on something that you're never going to put on again.
Who knows?
Unless you find out how great, unless you go to Mazzy's and those people are really, really cool.
Nice. And nice. Yeah.
And if they win this weekend, if those dudes from San Diego win this weekend, then what I would do next weekend is I would put on all the apparel from the team that they have to play the next week. And if they win again, I am going to the Super Bowl if the Chargers are in it or not. I'm booking the hotel. It's a guy's weekend down there. 4 days. So if the Chargers are in it, I will wear the colors of the opposing team, be it Minnesota, be it New Orleans.
You cannot do that. At
the
Super
four
Bowl.
Days I'm down there.
That's not cool.
If it works the next 2 days, you got to continue the trend.
Not at the Super Bowl because that's your one chance to finally root for your team in a championship game.
No exactly. You cannot gotten them there. Do if you that. Get them there.
Because if I switched it up and I wore Chargers and they lost in the Super Bowl, then I would feel it was my own fault.
That's awful. Oh, it makes me numb just thinking about it.
Armin, you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, sure do, man. I just want to say I'm a Cubs fan, and my dad's a Cubs fan, and my grandfather was a Cubs fan, and you can count the years. It's been 101 and counting, so I definitely feel your pain, and I've already tried what you've tried, and it sure doesn't work.
Damn, it didn't work. Now, Cubs fans are like the quintessential example of this.
Uh-huh.
They've gone, I mean, how many years are we working on now without a World Series?
The last time was 1908, so about 101, 102 years.
And as a fan, you are just willing to try everything. You will sell your soul for a championship, right? So this guy tried it. It didn't work.
Absolutely. It doesn't work at all, man.
So stick with your team colors.
Mm-hmm.
I won't do it. I've got to try something on my own. Good morning, Kerry. You're on Q100.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, it's never going to work because you're not really rooting for the other team.
Yeah. Yes, I am. I love the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets.
Okay, well, the other thing I was going to tell you is I'm a huge curse, too, so if it'll help, I'll actually watch the game and the Jets will lose.
That's what you need to do.
Everyone's
you need
jumping
to,
on your bandwagon.
You need to find a Jets fan who has some weird superstition, and then they have to do the opposite.
So the Jets fan has to wear the Chargers jersey.
Cancel it out.
Trade.
And then I wear the Jets jersey.
There, now you're not spending money. You're saving money.
So do you at least understand the concept? Because in email, people don't get it.
No, I don't.
I hear the words. I'm just not understanding it. I couldn't do it. Mm-mm.
Do that gator thing that they all do.
Oh, hell no.
I will.
The Bert Show.